Now, he is the propitiation, we are told here, for our sins. Now, the word propitiation back in Romans meant mercy seat. Here, it's just a little bit different, and it means actually expiation or atonement. And it means that sins have been paid for by the suffering of another. Now, Christ has died, and because he died for us, we're God's child. Why, he is the propitiation for our sins. It doesn't say, if any man repent. It doesn't say that we have an advocate because of that. And it doesn't say we have an advocate if any man confesses his sins. And it doesn't say we have an advocate if a man weeps over his sin. And it doesn't say we have an advocate if a man goes through a ceremony in order to get rid of the sins. No, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ that does that. The moment that you and I said that rather cruel, brutal word to someone and hurt them, the moment that you and I had that evil thought, the moment that you and I did that evil act, Jesus Christ was there to represent us. And the sincere child of God wants to please the Father, and he walks along with that in mind. As the psalmist expressed it in Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts." And every child of God wants, therefore, to please the Father. And thank God we have propitiation. Now that means Christ is really our mercy seat. He is the one. Friends, you see, Christianity today is not a ritual, it's not a ceremony, it's not a system, and it's not even the church. Christianity is a person, and that person is Christ. He is our mercy seat. Now, he's a mercy seat for the whole world. I don't care who you are listening today, as this little jingle we gave a few moments ago had it, sinner, isn't this enough for you to have a Savior that took care of the sin question for you? Therefore, you and I have an advocate. And since we have an advocate, we can have fellowship with God. What a marvelous provision that has been made. And all that he asks us to do is to confess our sins. And as we said before, to confess means that we get on God's side. And we say it from his viewpoint and as he wants it said. Dr. Ironside tells a story about his two boys. He admitted that they weren't perfect, as my child wasn't. And he had trouble one evening, one of the boys, and he sent him upstairs not to come down to supper until he had confessed the thing he had done that was wrong. He wouldn't admit it at all. And the boy called him to come upstairs, and Dr. Ironside went up, and he says, "I want to go down to supper." And he says, "Well, that depends on you. Confess that you're wrong, you may come down." "Well," he says, "if you think I've done anything wrong, I'm sorry." And Dr. Ironside says, "That won't do." And so the boy called him up again, and this time he changed his story a little. He says, "Well, since you and Mother both think it's wrong, I guess it is. And I want to come down to supper." "Well," he said, "that's not enough." Then he went down, and in a little while he heard the boy almost weeping, and he said to him, "Daddy," says, "please forgive me. I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me." Then they came down and they had a wonderful dinner together. Fellowship, you see. We're in a family. That's the thing that's important today. I don't care about these little rules that you're following and you think that somehow or another that you are going to live the Christian life like that. My friend, God doesn't want you to be a programmed computer. He's not trying to make that out of you. You're a human being with your own free will, but you're a member of his family, and he wants to have fellowship with you. And I think we can talk to him as we talk to no one else.